Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sound the horn! By a final score of 7-4.
That is Avs Radio with the call. It is Sean and RJ, 105.3, the Phantom. RJ Choppy, he's Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside. And Colorado beats the Stars 7-4. And, you know, this final score doesn't matter. It was the dumbest goal I've ever seen that put this one in a position where Colorado would get a couple of empty netters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that they beat Dallas 7-4. They won.
They won.
I don't know that they beat Dallas.
No. What is? I am interested in Money Puck.
Because I was going to look at that right
that
now.
That was luck. That was a whole lot of luck.
Now, they outshot them, though. Colorado liked
yes.
it. Colorado significantly outshot them, so that's going to skew it some. But, I mean, the bigger issue here is that the first goal you gave up went off two stars, bounced off of two skates, and then the fifth goal, the one that was the ultimately the put away, was one that bounced right off of Blackwell's chest. And so that's it's an own goal thing. 58 for Colorado.
58 for Colorado.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately, you give up seven goals and four of them were because you had two empty netters and two that shouldn't have gone.
Right.
Not two that shouldn't have gone, two just fluky
they
plays.
They were redirects. They were.
I mean, one was redirected by your guy off of your guy and into the goal. And so I don't know if that's even a redirect.
No, that's not a redirect at all. But, man, they took a lead. They were down 2-0. They came back, took a lead. Like, what more do you want?
I mean, you'd like to see.
They came back twice.
Yeah, and look, the second period was great, and Rantanen was great. Hintz was great. The top line was fantastic. You probably didn't get enough from Wyatt Johnston in this game, especially defensively. But yeah, I mean, the top line was fantastic. There wasn't any issues. Your entire first line almost beat Colorado by themselves because they were great. They had, 9-10 points? Because Hintz had four. Rantanen had four. They got another goal off that line. So, I mean, they were fantastic.
They were, and that's the thing that you score four, you generally think you're going to win a game, especially in the playoffs, but just that wasn't the case last night, and Colorado staves off elimination. Now, of course, you get the Pete DeBoer magic coming in game seven. He doesn't lose game sevens, and he's 13-5 off a loss as the head coach of the Stars.
Yeah, look, I mean, you feel like you're in a good position. That was a tough environment. Look, I thought Colorado played really well overall. I still think Dallas should have won this game because of the fluky nature of the McKinnon goal and the first goal they scored from Nichushkin. But this is, and I shouldn't even call it the McKinnon goal, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I hate how they have to, like, they have to give it to
like
somebody.
Like whoever last touched it, yeah.
Yeah, they have to give it to somebody, and it's like, come on. That's...
I mean, we hear about team penalties and stuff like that. I don't know why it just can't be team goal for Colorado. Like, nobody gets it. They just... It's a team goal.
It's a team goal.
Like, you get team penalties in other sports or things like that. So, just assign it as a team goal.
What if that one goal gave him the record for most goals in a single season?
Right.
You know, like, it's like, all right, you're fudging the record books.
Or like
now.
Ovechkin's goal. His final one to get in front of Gretzky was just one that bounced off of Blackwell?
Bounced off of him, bounced off somebody else, bounced off of another skater on the other team. Like, I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me.
It was, Colorado gets a ton of credit for playing really good hockey and like being really intense and moving forward towards the net the entire time. The problem here is just that Dallas responded in a big way with that first line and didn't get much from anybody else. And again, it's a game that you felt like they were in position to win. In reality, it feels like they should have won this game 4-3. Because like I said, first goal bounces off a couple skates. The fifth goal is one that is just an own goal. And then you get the two empty netters. This felt like a game that they should have won. I don't know that they were better overall throughout the night, but it felt like they should have won just given the fluky nature of those two.
They were clearly better in the second period. Like, clearly.
Yeah, they were dominant in the second
period. That second period team, that was, I don't know how many teams in the NHL beat the Stars.
Yeah.
That second period Stars team.
Roppe was great in that period, and then he gets the assist on the Mikko goal where they were talking about it on the broadcast, you can literally hear Mikko call for Roppe to pass it over because he was open. And man, that was just, it was fantastic. That second goal was so smooth that Dallas scored just in front of the net. And I don't know, it was a great performance from that first line. That was the biggest thing I took away, was that your first line almost beat Colorado. And then you just didn't get enough from everybody else.
Nope.
Wyatt Johnston didn't give you enough. It's not been a great series, I don't think, for Matt Duchene. But Matt Duchene has like a point, I think, in the whole series.
I think it's one.
And so, I mean, it's you're not getting enough right there. But it's game seven. It'll be at the AAC. You hope the AAC is as loud as it was last night in Colorado. Colorado last night was. That was loud.
Yeah,
it was. You could sense it on the TV the entire time.
Game five was Liddy here. As the Tolos who were out there at the game said, it was one of the best atmospheres they had heard in a while. Toronto, they beat the Senators. I'll tell you this. They love to make it interesting. Vegas wraps it up against the Wild. They win 4-2. They win 3-2, but they win the series 4-2. And so the Oilers, they dispatch of the Kings.
Now, if you're looking at Dallas and they roll into game seven here coming up, the question will just be, are they gonna have Miro? Which I don't think so. But
I don't think so. But you know, you also hope if you're the Stars, you want St. Louis to win tonight. They played tonight against the Jets. They would force game seven, so that would give you them an extra day. Because I assume if Winnipeg wins tonight, and I assume they'll probably start on Monday, but if Winnipeg loses tonight and they have to go to a game seven, they probably will get an extra day for Miro to potentially get healthy and play in that game. So you want St. Louis to win
that. Yeah, which I'm guessing Miro will be back for whatever potential series there is next round. It's just the question of this game seven. That's going to be a really intense game. Game seven intensity in NHL hockey, especially like in the NHL playoff hockey, is always really, really strong. Those are always really tough physical games. I just don't know. Are you going to want to drop Miro right back into that? That's his first game back? Or,
well, I mean, what do you want to wait?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I mean, if it's this close, if Pete DeBoer keeps talking about he's got hurdles to clear and different things that are super close for him right now, do you want to then just drop him into that atmosphere? I don't know that physically he'd be ready. I don't know that they would say he'd be ready.
That's true. Colorado's actually favored in this game seven. They're -140. Stars are +120. Thankfully, we get a 7 o'clock start, Peyton. We have to wait till 8:30.
It's Saturday, but
it's Saturday.
The sun will be out. That's crazy.
I don't know that. I feel like ever since I came back from this trip, my sleep schedule is still off. Like, I'm still like falling asleep on the couch, you know, like before these games.
You got in trouble?
Huh?
You got in trouble?
Oh, wait, like I had to sleep. No, we're just sitting on the couch. Like, I can't remember what we were watching. We were watching the Toronto game. And like, I'm just, this is like, you know, it's probably like 6:45, 7 o'clock. Just doze off on the couch because we haven't caught up from this jet lag. It's not even jet lag. It's just the fact that we barely slept over there and the sleep schedule got so screwed up.
Is that jet lag or you're turning 46?
It could be I'm turning 46.
You're 46?
I'm 45. He's going to turn 46.
Oh, we took these jet lag pills.
Is that what they're called?
It's a jet lag pill. It's like 15 dissolvable.
He met somebody in an alley on Oak Lawn.
Probably.
In a trench coat. Yeah, these are jet lag pills.
No, buddy. It was, I can't remember where Sarah got these from. But they're like 15 like little balls that you dissolve under your tongue. and they're supposed to help with jet lag. Problem is, they don't dissolve under your tongue very easily, so you're sitting there like with balls in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I just wound up chewing them.
Are you supposed to do that?
I don't think they work that way.
Do they taste gross?
No, they're fine, Ted. There's nothing wrong
with that. What's in them?
I don't know. I'll get the bottle.
Something that says it cures jet lag and you don't know what's in it just seems risky to just be like, oh, yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, look, I'm the poster child for, oh, he got popped 80 games for PEDs. Sure, I'll take it.
Oh, you would be that guy.
Yeah, I'll be that guy. Yeah, sure. You tell me to take it, I'll take it.
Anything?
Pretty much. If it's like, I'll ask what it does, but then you can always just lie to me.
Bobby, on Monday, bring some pills, just random pills you have, and then we'll just start trying them.
Let's see which pills we'll take.
Yeah. No, I know you guys.
It's a pill party.
But how about this? You know, so I said they start at 7 o'clock. If Blues Jets get to a game 7, they start at 6. The hustle on these network people to not realize that, like, you know, Winnipeg is, like, directly north of us. And mm-hmm. So is St. Louis. Like, we're not on the West Coast. We don't need an extra hour or two. Just let us play early.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? That's just typically been about the East Coast thing?
Probably, yeah.
East Coast games, they're just trying
But there's no East Coast games. Like, the only games left,
I just wonder if they structure it just in general that way.
They do. They put the Western Conference later and the Eastern Conference early. I get that part of it. But
last night, the Wild got 6:30 start. You know, they finally got a start early.
Yeah. It's
They hate Dallas, man. They hate us.
I know. They do. They just hate us. So Stars lose 7-4. I can't even say that. I can't even say that with a straight face. 7-4 to Colorado last night.
And you say, so Winnipeg and the Blues, they'll play tonight.
And then we would get the winner of that series.
St. Louis is favored tonight.
All right, so that will go to, hopefully it goes to a game 7. That game 7 will be on Sunday. So the Stars, whoever wins Stars Avs, would get that series pushed back.
Ugh, how good would it be to just have St. Louis handle Winnipeg?
Maybe Winnipeg closes things out like Denver tries to in the NBA. Denver's got a problem.
I'd love it.
Denver's got a
problem. Maybe Winnipeg's got some Doc Rivers to him. That'd be great.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know who the Doc Rivers of the NHL would be.
Hopefully it's Winnipeg. Then
you're Hellebuck.
Yeah, you're all set to go, and you've already got the Blues taking out Winnipeg for you. You don't have to worry about them.
Winnipeg hasn't played well. They haven't played tremendous. Like, they should be. They're winning the series right now, 3-2, but they were by far the best team. Throughout the regular season in the West, I shouldn't say by far, but they were clearly the best team in the West at the regular season. And, you know, they just haven't played great in the playoffs, and that's not something that's new for them.
So you're saying maybe we want Winnipeg? I don't think that's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. Because you wouldn't have home ice if you did, and you'd rather have home ice, absolutely. But
it doesn't matter. They're going to lose game one anyways. They've lost the last 8 game ones the Stars have, so it doesn't matter.
Is it 8?
It's 8 straight game ones they've lost.
Oh God!
So anything you own
is there game one streak longer than the Rangers homerless streak?
No, it's right. It's just above it. Yeah, because the Rangers are what, 6 games now, 6-7 games without a home run. God.
Somebody asked me what the there was this meme about, hey, Dirk should be the next GM. He's like, what's the explain this to me in Rangers terms? And I'm like, this is like the Rangers hit a ball 400 feet.
Oh yeah, like just in terms of it would never happen.
Never happen.
Yeah,
it could never.
I mean, they can't even hit a ball 320 feet.
No,
like they can't even pick up an extra base hit.
No, we'll talk about that coming up next year. 105 through the Fan. It's Sean and RJ. Happy Friday to one and all. The Rangers offense completely reaches a new low. This is bad, 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 bad. We get into it next on 105 through the Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The 1-2, check swinger, did he go? He went around, tried to check on the slider, and Semien strikes out to end the ball game. So the A's come to town and take 3 out of 4 from the Rangers, winning here this afternoon by the final of 3-0.
Hixey with a call on the game you heard right here. We are the home for Texas Rangers baseball. We're still proud of that, despite the fact that that was a disgraceful offensive performance yesterday.
I mean, yeah, it's not just been yesterday. It's been the last several games. Yep. They are really bad offensively right now, and I imagine Chris Young is looking around figuring out there's got to be something I can do here. And then after the game, we get Jake Berger sent to AAA. So no more Jake Berger. It's now Blaine Crim, the 28-year-old rookie coming up.
Listen, big fan of Blaine Crim.
Love him. Love what he can do. Yeah. I assume. I don't know.
And then if he does something wrong, we just blame Crim.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you want to go down that road.
That's how we'll be prepared for it. No, it is Jake Berger's not been good.
No.
And he needs some sort of reset. Blaine Crim is somebody who, though, like I said, he's been in the organization since 19. So we're talking about pre-COVID. Slowly working his way up through A-ball, double-A, up to triple-A. So far this year, he was hitting .313 with a .930 OPS. 7 home runs. And so he's giving them a little pop there in Round Rock.
Yeah,
they hope it translates.
They got handled 3 freaking hits. Jeffrey Springs, a guy who I had forgotten about, but he was here. I had forgotten about him. But in his previous 5 starts this year, he's been serving up batting practice. 7 hits, 5 earned. 5 hits, 4 earned. 3 hits, 3 earned. That was in like 2 innings. 7 hits, 3 earned. 5 hits, 4. I mean, he did them dirty.
He got 3 swinging strikes yesterday.
He nickel and dimed them to death.
2 hits, 1 walk, 1 strikeout.
Nickel and dime them to death, man. It was like watching Maddox out there I'm not comparing him, please, my gosh. But just they were just hitting dribbler after dribbler off him. You know, weak contact.
Yeah, usually he looks like Mike Maddox throwing batting practice.
Yeah.
But yesterday it was Greg Maddox.
Yesterday it was the other way. And they did it again. They wasted a really nice performance by their starter.
Yeah, Tyler Mahle was good. His 1.19 ERA now. That it still can't translate to a win in this game because they just get the 3 hits. And
so hey, he's got to be. So they've got so obviously Eovaldi is going to be high in the ERA, and Mahle. I mean, they're going to have 3 pitchers in the top like 14 in ERA.
The good news is nobody in the batting lineup yesterday who is a qualified hitter had a batting average that was lower than Mally's ERA. So now we've got everybody over 1.19.
That's good. That you got to put that in the win column. See, you got to take small victories here.
Jock Peterson was not in the lineup though, so.
No.
But Jake Berger at 1.90 was.
So anybody who plays like beer league softball, there's always that one team that joins the league. None of the players ever drink in the dugout. None of them smoke. And they all bring those bats that go ding. You know, they go buy a bat at Dick's or something like that.
Old Easton.
Yeah, they can't hit. They can't play. They're just filling out the league. That's what the Rangers offense is right now. They're like the church league team that just can't
hit. We have 29. We needed a 30th team.
That's what their offense is. That's what their offense is right now. And it's tough to watch. Oh, by the way, someone brought this up on the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text. Go look at Nate Lowe, Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton. You ran that man out of town.
No, Nate, I like Nate.
Nate Lowe would be leading or tied for the lead on the Rangers and hits home runs and RBIs this year. He has 25 RBIs on the season right now. The leader for the Rangers Is Adolis with 15.
He plays on the East Coast, though. The ball flies different.
The
out
ball
there.
Flies. It's so much Come different, on. Right? I mean, yeah. Let's
be reasonable here,
that
guys.
That thick, dense Washington air.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how well that ball
well,
flies.
You know what's funny, too, is though he would, we're talking about he'd lead in all these categories. He still has a 770 OPS.
That's right.
That's right. And that just also speaks to how pathetic the Rangers are. And a 0.2 war.
Yeah. His 770 OPS is behind Wyatt's. It's behind Josh Smith's. And it's behind Seager's.
That's the biggest thing, dude. Corey Seager needs to get back this weekend, yeah. Which allegedly he will. But
we saw the video of him taking BP yesterday. It looked like he was okay.
He was running the bases apparently the other day, working out. He's looking like he's getting closer to going. But, man, and Sandler told us yesterday he should be good to come off. But, man, this team looks like it's the difference between winning the division and missing the playoffs completely with Corey Seager in there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about it. Man, Adolis, you gotta do something here. You can't have a 666.
No.
OPS.
You don't want the devil OPS.
You don't want that.
Sweet baseball.
You don't want any part.
Adolis is still, you're waiting for everything to kind of balance out for him because he's still hitting the ball really hard.
He is. You are waiting for that.
His strikeout rate has not been as high as it's been in years past.
His strikeout rate isn't?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's not had as much of an issue with it. The K rate is down. K rate's Good. Down. He's hitting the ball harder. So he's making more contact more consistently, and he's hitting the ball harder. You would hope that Adolis is going to come around, but, I mean, one of the guys who's been mashing the ball for you pretty hard, Higashioka, he goes on the IL yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Heim has been hitting the ball pretty well. But, I mean, it's just you're very limited in your options. It seems like, all right, Josh Young's back. All right, well, now Wyatt Langford's on. Wyatt Langford's back. Now Corey Seager's on. Seager's back. Now Higashioka's on.
Right, and so they only have three guys. So in order to qualify for a batting title, you've got to have 3.1 plate appearances per team game played.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 30 games in. You've got to have about 90 plate appearances. Right around there. They only have three guys to qualify.
That's ridiculous.
We're a month into the season. They only have three guys that would qualify to win any of the batting titles. To win the batting title. Like that's troubling. And that's a reason why this team does not hit the ball very well right now. But that was a really, really bad performance.
I don't know what fixes it. Like for your guy. I don't know how the ball starts finding grass. I don't know how the ball.
Well, good luck for starters.
Yeah. I mean, part of this will balance.
Little unlucky. Little bit. Not a lot. Little unlucky. And then I also think, you know, you got to figure out a way for Semien to continue to, you know, he has to hit. He has to hit more.
Yeah. Part of this will balance out a little bit. It hasn't yet. I mean, what's Adolis at now batting average wise? He's at 218. So his expected batting average is 258.
That's got to even out.
He should be higher up. His expected slugging is .504. So
that's 110 points low.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who should be in the 800s on his OPS.
He should. All right, little Rangers here on 105.3 The Fan. What happened last night in the association?
Back and down to Sar Thompson at the logo. Plenty of time left. We're tied at 113 here in Game 6. Brunson, between the legs dribble, gets rid of Thompson, walk-up three-pointer, he got it! The clutch player of the year will not be denied! Jalen Brunson with 4.3 puts the Knicks in front, 116-113.
Knicks radio with the call, clutch player of the year, is that what we're calling him?
When he plays for New York, we will.
Is that an award? Yeah. 116-113, Knicks win, they advance. They beat Detroit 4-2. Pistons got robbed in what, game 4?
Yeah,
he arrived at the end of game 4, and for them even to make it to game 6.
Dude, this was a disappointment because I thought the Pistons gave the Knicks all they could handle. And even setting up for that final shot where they're down 3 and they work the ball around and it gets to Malik Beasley and it just bounces right off his hands and out of bounds. Now, it would have been close because it was, I mean, time was starting to tick down for you. But, I mean, Malik Beasley gets that swing pass, and he's setting up right there for a wide-open three to send that to overtime potentially. But, I don't know. I thought Detroit played really well. Pistons look like they have some optimism heading into the future. But good for Jalen Brunson. We got to find our victories wherever we can in Dallas.
That's right.
We'll cheer for our old players.
Second time in league history in the playoffs that four straight games were decided by three or less.
I mean, it was a great series, and Detroit was a really strong
game
team.
Fits.
Yeah, Detroit.
They gave them fits, man.
Look, Detroit's fun. Cade Cunningham is a lot of fun to watch play basketball. I like him a lot. Ultimately they got screwed a little bit, but he's really entertaining. He's a North Texas kid, and he's always talked really glowingly at the All-Star game about Dirk. So I'm a fan. I like him a lot. I like watching him have success, and he's somebody who I think the Pistons are in good hands with moving forward. He's a good player.
Is there a money puck for the NBA? I wonder if there is one.
No. Not that I know.
Is that a money puck?
Money basket?
Money hoop. Man. Money hoop. Meanwhile, the other game, Denver has a closing out problem.
Right corner, Norm, pump fake, sidestep, triple, rattles down. Norman Powell, big time shot. He's got 24. Clippers up 9. 110-101.
Clippers radio, 111-105 is the final. Clippers stave off elimination, force a game 7. And this is the second straight series for Denver. Remember last year, they were up 3-2 on Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And they got worked in game 6. They lose game 7 at home. And then this one, they go. They have a chance to beat the Clippers. They win game 6, LA does, and now game 7 will be over the weekend with a chance for the Nuggets to advance or the Clippers. It'll be on, I guess it's going to be on Saturday night. It's only going to get one day off.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a good series. These have probably been the two best series in the playoffs so far in the West and the East here with the Pistons, Knicks, and then you get the Clippers and Nuggets. But James Harden played great yesterday. He's somebody who's had his conditioning talked about a lot over the course of his career. He played 47 minutes in this one, 47 minutes for James Harden. But he puts up 28 points and has 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He kind of turned back the clock a little bit, but we get this game 7 now, and not just Harden. I mean, just in general, the Clippers have been really gutsy this series. I think they were actually favored heading into this one, weren't they, Peyton? Didn't we talk about that with Sean? I feel like.
They were favored in the series?
The Clippers were actually the favorites heading into the series.
Really?
Yeah, and he's somebody, you know, that clip. This has been really, these games have been really tight for the most part. I think, you know, we had one or two games that were pretty decent separation, but otherwise we're talking about three or four of these games have come down to a single possession, basically.
Dude, LA's favorite in game 7.
They were the favorite heading into the series.
Man, there's a problem with Denver. There's something like I think this is my whole thing about, you know, your best player can't be a player that doesn't have the ball in their hands all the time. And this is going to be my issue with the Mavericks and the way they're structured moving forward, where, you know, Anthony Davis is going to be their best player. I know they have Kyrie, but first of all, we don't know what Kyrie is going to be. We don't know if he's going to sign here either, but. You know, Kyrie has disappeared in some playoff games because of his size. You know, we've seen that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's it when the best player on your team isn't a got to have the ball in your hands guy, doesn't that leave you up to kind of vulnerability?
Yeah. No, I that absolutely opens the door for that. I was looking at this just now. They've got this game. Gosh, could you imagine? We get Avs and Stars, 7 o'clock on Saturday?
On Saturday, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about 6:30 on Saturday. You could have the Nuggets and the Avs both getting eliminated around the same time. Denver, Colorado,
man. And imagine that. Like, how do you?
You're just flipping back and forth. That'd be a gut. And then you've got the Rockies at 5 wins.
I think that happened last year because we had been the Avs in 6 games, and then the Nuggets were playing the Timberwolves in game 7. Like, they were losing, you know, in consecutive games.
You lose both game 7s. You've got the Rockies playing horrible.
And Bo Nix is your quarterback.
You got the whole John Elway issue right there now. Ooh. And then you've got Shador falling out of the draft, basically, which is Boulder, but I mean, it's still kind of
same. It's like
general,
it's
yeah,
like a suburb,
yeah, general area there. Ooh. And so, I mean, you're talking about this could be one of the worst sports weeks in existence for Denver.
Bad job on these leagues putting those games at the same time too.
Yeah, I mean it's 6:30 start time for LA and Denver.
You can't have that guy. What are we doing? What are we doing here? You can't have that. You can't have them play at the same time.
They did that with us with the Mavs and Suns a few years ago, and then the Stars and Flames, I believe. I believe they were on the same Sunday.
Can't do that.
And was that was that the game that Otter like went bananas?
Yeah, 62 of 64, I think.
Yeah, that was the crazy, but that was also so it was 62 of 64, and then the Mavs were beating the Suns by 64 in that game.
Yeah. That was the game seven, right? Yeah. Oof. Yeah, it's tough. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. He's going to talk WNBA next. He's going to get into the plus, we all know what the Cowboys' biggest hole is, but what's their second biggest hole? Next to the Fan. We have a G-Bag Nation fight to break down. Ugh. Love a good fight. Love a good battle. Love a good Dawson Broadus. Love a good Chia Follow. What's the other guy's name? Wolchuk. Love a good fight.
Yeah, this is Broadus and Dawson with Chia Follow just sitting off to the side and giggling.
That's the best one. That's the best one where somebody else in the family is fighting, and then you get to sit back and watch it. You kind of poke and prod. I had to poke and prod.
He didn't even have to do that. They were poking and prodding enough with each other, and Eric just kind of sat there and was like enjoying it.
That's at 8:20. We'll get into that. Have you ever been hit with a cattle prod?
No. Have you?
Yeah. Armor here.
Just something you tried over the honeymoon?
Girl I was dating, her dad had one. It was like, here.
Oh, is this the weird farming guy in New York?
Not the weird farming guy in New York. No, this was here. He was, and all of a sudden.
Like he's playing with you?
Yeah, he was just like, this is your initiation.
That doesn't sound like much fun.
That's all right, here we go. It wasn't a full-on, like, it wasn't like one of the big ones. It was a small one. It was, you know, it wasn't one that was like, you know, this giant four-footer that you.
Sure.
Do dads have initiations for, like, boyfriends?
Do dads?
Yeah, like, for, like,
I don't know. I never had a daughter.
There's hazing.
I would think there's hazing.
Really?
I guess I've never been hazed by.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Unless it was, like, undercover or something like that. I didn't think about it, but
what's
the amount of dads that have told me you're dating my daughter and my shotguns? Multiple have told me that.
What's your relationship like with your soon to be father-in-law, Peyton? He's a listener, isn't he?
Yeah, he listens. He listens to the payload every Thursday.
Yeah, just the payload.
Well, that's not a listener.
Yeah, that's why I tell him. I said that's all you need to listen to.
Just the payload.
Just get those ratings up. You know?
So what's it like? Do you ever get any threats or any firm handshakes that are held a little longer?
No. He laughs at all my jokes, so that's good. My dad jokes go well. He's a handyman, though. Does a lot of work around the house. So as long as I can do that, which obviously I can't, but I try, then we're good.
Sarah's dad's a handyman. He's got like a big workshop in the back. Just wood everywhere. It's like, surrounded by wood.
Like Mackenzie had one of her lights were out, her headlights on her car. And he goes, okay, well, here's the bulb. Go fix it. And so I go up to the car and I'm like, and I go back and ask for help. I'm just like,
man, headlight, they can be tricky.
I was looking at it for 2 minutes, man. Well, her car's like, you know, a 9 or whatever, you know, 2010. Like, it's an old car.
It's a 2010?
I don't know what year it is, that but it's at least old. 15 years.
Wow. It's good that she's kept the, you kept it that long.
Yeah.
That's kind of jealous of that.
But a headlight assembly, like, it depends on which one it is. The headlight can be...
It can be tricky if it's
it can be it tricky. Can be. Then there are others that are literally just super there's easy. Wires and you just pop it out. And
Sarah's is so easy for the rear lights. Mm-hmm. But the front, I haven't had to change. But the rears are really easy.
I think the center I had, the brake lights were kind of weird. Like, you had to pop out the something in the trunk. Uh-huh. And then there was, like, you had to pop back something. Like, it was not just a bulb that stuck into the little opening there.
The windshield wipers on her car are impossible. Nothing fits. It's a
That's
Volkswagen.
Supposed to be like super easy.
I know. It's super easy on every car I've ever owned except for hers. It is.
It's supposed to just be like a little release, it's pop not. It off and go
for
get
whatever
it.
Reason, nothing fits. Nothing fits.
I've started to have that. I'm going to have to get new windshield wipers because the other day when we were in Anna, like
it wasn't working.
Well, you know what? Like sometimes if it's just gentle rain or whatever else or steady rain, your windshield wipers may make a little squeak or something. Yeah. This was like a scraping squeak in full like downpour. And I was like, really? Okay, that clearly
that's not good.
This is worn off.
Yeah.
Like I've got to go get new ones.
Yeah.
That's when I realized it the other day. I don't need new tires. I didn't know about the tires. The tires turned out were fine.
Yeah.
What I need is I need new windshield wipers.
Yeah, that's some I am so I can't think of the word. I'm so like particular about the windshield wipers. I don't want ones that are just that look cheap. I know they're going to crack in the sun after about 4 months. Yep. Plus, I don't change them often enough. All right, so with the Cowboys' biggest...
By the way, real quick, we have breaking society news that matters to a lot of people.
Oh, no.
Grand Theft Auto 6 has been delayed once again. Peyton, it's not coming out till May 26th, 2026.
Dude, it's never coming out.
It's over a year. This game was supposed to come out like 2 years ago?
There's got to be conspiracy theories about this.
When did Grand Theft Auto 5 come out? Grand Theft Auto 5 came out 13 years ago? 12 years ago?
Yeah, Aiden said when he was 8, which was...
Oh my gosh.
You were 8?
13, 14 years ago?
September 2013 is when 5 came out. So yeah, 12 years ago.
It's been 12 years? All right, so I need help on this one because my kids want to play this game.
And dude, everybody's been waiting. It's become the new joke on the internet. We got XYZ before we got Grand Theft Auto 6. So like anything that happened, you'll say something like, yeah. Donald Trump became president twice before we got Grand Theft Auto 6.
It's been that long.
Nico Harrison was the most beloved man and also ran out of Ted before we got Grand Theft Auto. It's just you put anything into a timeline of like, surely we would have gotten the game before that happened.
This is the one game I struggle with let my kids play.
So it's definitely...
They're 15 and 12, and I'm like, I don't want any part of that. I don't know.
Look, it's definitely like an immoral game. Especially if you go back to like San Andreas or some of those.
And my moral compass is kind of like, you know, it's questionable.
Yeah, but I get it. Like the whole thing is about like committing crimes consistently.
Yeah. But like RJ, your kids say all these bad words. Like they should be able to play this game.
I don't care about words.
No, here's what I'll say. It is.
I don't care. Words to me, like I don't care about words. I care about actions, you know?
It is. Well, words are violence, but it is one of those things where... It's a bad theme or whatever else. I don't feel like it's a particularly gory game. Like, it still is kind of, like, arcade-like.
Yeah, I don't care if they play Call of Duty. I don't care if they play...
Like, yeah, Call of Duty to me is more violent than Grand Theft
Auto. Yeah, it's not the violence. It's the just grabbing a girl, kidnapping her, and doing what... You know what I mean? Like, in the video game.
I will say, it's not like that's... Night dancers. That's not generally... That, you know? That's not generally, like, a big part of the game.
But it's... You can do it.
It's not like kidnap a girl. It's not like your mission here is to kidnap her. No. And a lot of times...
You just do it. It's not a mission.
Out of Luca and Julian, who would be the first one that as soon as they play the game, they go straight to, like, the strip club or whatever in the game?
Well, they're... I would hope.
One of them would.
Which one? Who would be the first one?
I think it'd be Julian. I think it'd be him.
Have you ever played it?
Yeah, and like when it first came, like I played like Grand Theft Auto 1.
Oh, that's a while ago.
Two, whatever.
I played San Andreas pretty consistently all the way up until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago because I still had it on... an old system, but I absolutely loved San Andreas. I still quote San Andreas still gets quoted all the time. It's that, aw, S, here we go again. Like, people S, use that meme again. All the time.
Cowboys win the Super Bowl before GTA 6 comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, Daniel Tosh, he did a podcast recently where he interviewed his wife, and nobody had seen his wife really ever. And he did a whole sit-down with her, and that was the top-rated comment on the YouTube page was, we got the Tosh interviewing his wife before we got GTA 6.
We got GTA 6 delayed before we got GTA 6. I like these. These are good. These are all good. So, it's whatever.
Speaking of the Cowboys, if they're going to win the Super Bowl, what holes do they need to fill?
I saw this. Obviously, the Cowboys' biggest hole is still a wide receiver, too. This is the wide receiver room. But then I was asking myself, I was like, all right, that's their biggest hole. What's the second biggest? After post-draft, post-free agency... Yeah, we went into the draft. All right, running back is a hole, wide receiver, you know, O-line. What is their second biggest need right now?
I don't think my answer is going to make anybody feel good. It might be wide receiver 3.
Oh, gosh.
This is a 3-receiver league.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
I don't know that any of their guys match up to being a 3rd receiver either. But outside of that, you still have questions about who's your 1 technique, your nose guard. Mm-hmm. You've got Mozzie there right now, but you don't know what Mozzie can be. You drafted Haka specialist Jay Toia in the 7th round. But again, it's a 7th round pick. Even if you think he can be more, it's still a 7th rounder. You can't necessarily bank on that.
They're not all Jay Ratliff.
Linebacker has a lot of depth pieces, but you don't know who's going to be healthy, when they're going to come back. I mean, there are a lot of questions everywhere. Probably your biggest need right now would be corner. But wide receiver three, I think at least deserves an argument. And Rodney Ruffin on the YouTube, I knew somebody's going to come with this pretty quick. Quarterback is your next biggest hole.
Is that? Are you being serious?
That's what somebody wrote here. I mean, right, you can make the case running back. Do you feel confident in Jaden Blue, Miles Sanders, and Javonte Williams? Like, that's a decent enough collection of running backs to get by.
Well, let me ask you this. The offensive line as a whole, on a scale of 1 to 10, is a what?
I mean, I think with Booker there, and I'm assuming a jump from Guyton. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have a jump. Terrence Steele's going to be more comfortable. I think the offensive line's going to be, I feel comfortable saying it's going to be a 7.
So it's a top 10 line.
On the edges of it, yeah, probably. I mean, okay. it could jump up to that, but I think at the very least, they're on the edges. 251, damn, y'all act like Tolbert didn't make plays last year. He ain't number 3, but he is a good 3. See, I don't think so, 251. I think that you're talking about a guy who he made some plays, but if you're talking about being in today's NFL where a 3 is supposed to be like Randall Cobb a few years ago for Dallas, Tolbert is not that.
Yeah, a three is like still it's an impact player.
Yeah.
And like I just keep going back to Tampa's Super Bowl when they had Antonio Brown.
Look at when San Francisco's running out there with Debo, Ayuk, and Juwan Jennings. Green Bay's third receiver. They don't have a 1, but they got a bunch of guys who could be
five twos.
Yeah, five guys who could be a 2 or 3. I think in general, a number 3 receiver across the NFL on average is better than Jalen Tolbert. Most teams' number 3 receiver is better than Tolbert.
I think that's one of Detroit's holdups. They don't have a really good number 3.
Yeah. Now, I mean, they're looking at, they're trying to do things. 4-3-2, Turpin doesn't exist. I mean, he hasn't so far. Yeah. Like, guys, we got to start having realistic expectations.
Turpin's a bit player.
Can he step in and become it? Maybe he's got a chance to step up, but no. Kevontae Turpin is not a has not shown he is a legitimate full-time number 3 receiver yet. That's a guy who had 31 catches for 420 yards last year. No, I don't think that's a full-time.
The wide receiver 3 is a starter.
It's a guy who
that's
ran
a starter.
We kept pulling our hair out about it last year. What? He ran 2 slants all year?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, no, that doesn't sound like a number 3 receiver to me.
That's not.
2-4 linebackers and secondary. See here. We've also got 214 saying DB. 214 quarterback, mostly because of the contract. 214, what about Josh Butler? When he's healthy, he's a great slot DB. So the only problem is Josh Butler had an injury at the end of last year. There's no telling when he's going to be back.
You got to have 3 solid ones. You can't have a hole.
972, I'm not sold on running back quantity is not quality, so they still are having questions.
It's not
about
quantity is not quality, but I mean, my whole question was like, where's the offensive line? What would you rank it? I mean, if it's a 7.5 out of 10, then you should be able to get holes that running backs can run through, especially young ones with fresh legs, and Blue's going to have fresh legs. So to me, that's a good thing. That's a good issue to have. It's a good issue to have.
972 is asking, will the Cowboys sign Isaiah Bond, receiver from UT? No, I don't think so. Isaiah Bond, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I get the feeling a lot of teams just are refusing to. From what I can tell, there's a lot of teams who just absolutely refuse to take him on. They think he's got a lot of problems.
Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan, 6 a.m. Club on your Friday, getting you to your weekend. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside. Stars lose. A crushing game with a very unlucky bounce in Denver last night. Plus, Luka already getting called out by his coach. Next on 105.3 The Fan.